Awesome. Tonight's going to be good.
Yeah.
You two brothers want to take this down to the level for me? I don't know. Maybe. Depends on you. Oh, look at that. Are these? Look at those guys. You guys going to flex? Flex for everybody. Oh, there we go. All right. Gabriel Webb has been ministering here for quite a while now, actually. And
I'm going to use it.
That was,
oh, I'm still on.
Okay. Thank you. He's going to be preaching the word tonight, so get your Bibles ready, get your pens ready, get your ears ready, get your hearts ready. Amen. Let's give it up for Gabe Webb. Come on.
Yeah. Thanks anyway. Awesome. Man, when Reed was praying, God was really moving on my heart about, you know, we pray a lot, I think. Well, I try and pray a lot. Some of us pray in here. And I don't pray enough. But what I do realize is that we want to see, you know, our schools change. We want to see our Anchorage change. We want to see Wasilla change. But this isn't going to happen just by praying. More than anything, it's definitely not going to happen unless we're doing something. And the Lord was really convicting my heart when he was praying just to be that and to be a person that is in the city and is an example. And so so just be thinking about that, that we don't get filled up and blessed for ourselves, but we get filled up and blessed to go out and be a blessing. Amen? And so our purpose as Christians is not just to be healed and restored. God spoke to me one time and said the purpose of a healing Christian is for the dying world. And so the purpose for you being healed and restored is so that you can go out and minister to a dying world. Amen? So let's be that. Let's be people who do that. Awesome. Without further ado, I need three awesome volunteers who do not mind getting dirty. All right, you're up here. No, this one right here. Oh, okay, Aaron, both of you, get up there. Get up on stage.
Yeah!
And don't touch anything on stage. I need one more. I need one more. I want a female. Can we get a female? Kim, come on up here. Now, Aaron. Hey, this is going to be your seat. This is going to be your designated seat, but you got to stay there. Stay there for now. That's going to be your designated seat. So you find your designated seat. Cam, yours was back there, right? No. You stay up there. Where are you going? And then yours was right down here, right? What's your name again?
Brad.
Brad, this is Gabriel. What did I just say? Everybody, this is Brad. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to lay on the ground. Oh, gosh. You okay? Jeez. Hold on a minute. That was so awesome. All right, it's good. You're good. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Just stay laying. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm not. You kind of look awkward. Everybody's staring at you right now, so it's kind of fun. But what you're going to do is when I say go, without your legs, you're going to roll back to your chair. You're going to roll back to your chair. And somehow, some way, you have to find out how you're going to get back up into your chair. Without your legs. If they use your legs, I need somebody to be the designated hitter. And if you see me, just go to kick them. Just go kick them. I'm just kidding. That's horrible. Okay, you ready? So you're rolling to, and you, if you, you got to roll off the thing. So you got to get back to your chair, and you have about 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Ready? Go. Hey, you guys got to cheer them on. Go. What in the world? That's not allowed. Hey, pick him up. That was amazing. Hey, pull him up. Pull him up. Yeah. Yes. Without. Awesome. Good job. Give him a round of applause. Did you guys have that planned? That was amazing. Well done. That was awesome. And cheating at the same time. You know, cheating is the same as lying, and lying is not allowed in church. The truth, you're right. I did not say any rules about it, so technically, well, I just made up a new rule. You can't carry anybody back to the seat, so technically you just cheated and lost. But did it hurt? Did it hurt rolling off? Don't lie in church, man. Just tell me the truth. Did it hurt? Just kidding. Aaron, did it hurt rolling off?
No.
Man, you guys are just tough. Is this your cell phone? There you go, man. Cool. That was awesome. That was awesome. Without using your legs. Will you go to the book of Mark? I just like doing random things every once in a while. That was kind of random. Remember, there's a purpose. There's a purpose in everything. There's a purpose. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Mark chapter 5. It is. Are you guys cold? Is it just me?
Yes.
Suffering for Jesus, right? Just suffering for Jesus. Just receiving the suffering. What? We're just suffering. You guys there? Mark chapter 5. Did I give you a verse yet? Go to verse 21. Can you keep put your finger on Mark and flip over to Colossians? It's after Philippians, which is after Ephesians, which is after Galatians, which is after 2 Corinthians, which is after 1st, and then Romans. So, it's back there. Philippians chapter 2, or sorry, Colossians chapter 2. You there? Be confused. Ye confused. Chapter 2, verse 6. You there?
Yeah.
All right, this is what it says in my Bible. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him," say in Him,
mm-hmm,
"dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Who's Him? Jesus, right? Who's Him? Man, who's Him?
Jesus!
Awesome. All right. "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we just thank You, God, for that You are full of life. God, that You are full of life, and You came to give us life, and to give us life, God, more abundantly. So, God, tonight, we just receive that life. God, tonight we just receive Your Spirit. God, tonight we just receive Your love and Your grace. God, just that ability to do Your will. God, tonight we just accept what You have for us, God. We just accept the buffet that You have for us, son. God, we're asking that this room, God, would be full of life. God, it'd be full of joy. And God, that we would encounter Your presence tonight, God. We'd be changed tonight, God, from glory to glory. God, that You would transform our hearts and renew our minds. And God, enable us not just to hear Your word, God, but also to do it and to obey it and to keep Your will and to keep Your word. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21. You should have had your finger there. If you didn't, you cheated. You didn't cheat. I'm just kidding. I feel like I'm favoring the left side there. We're in verse 20. We'll go to 21. How many here tonight have an NIV translation?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say it's horrible. It's a good translation. I'm just curious. Anybody with a New King James? You do? On you right now? Huh? Oh, okay. Who does? Am I the only one reading out of the New King James Version?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right.
Represent.
All right. So my version is going to read a little differently, but this is what it says. We're in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "So now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him, and He was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. What does your translation say in NIV? And thronged him. What is it? It pressed around him. Gathered. The idea is a bunch of people are just all about him, trying to get up in his grill. Just all up in his business. So, verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood," or a hemorrhage probably, "for 12 years. For 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" I just want to digest and I want to tear apart this story tonight. And I want you to go along with me. Amen? It starts out, and I want to start out in verse 25, where it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years," or she had been bleeding for 12 years, and it was horrendous, it was horrible. The reality is, and the truth is that all of us, in some way, form or another, have been bleeding and have been hurt and have some kind of brokenness in our heart. Somewhere, somehow, in us, inside of us, we have an incompletion. We are broken. Amen? Broken. Like this girl, all of us, at one time, really, when we were born, Psalm 51 says that we were conceived in sin. That we were born in sin. And we all have brokenness. Somebody has either hurt you, or you have hurt somebody else. But more or less, you've been rejected, you've been hurt, you've been wounded. Somehow, some way, you have a brokenness. You have been bleeding for years. You, me, all of us. And the crazy thing is that we will spend all we have. We will spend all we have. We will spend all we have, everything we have, to complete ourselves. We will spend all that we have. Like this woman, it says in verse 26, the first part, the Bible says she spent all she had. That doesn't mean that she had still some money for rent. It doesn't mean that she still had some time to do other things. It doesn't mean that she still had a house to live in. It probably meant that she's just laid on the side of the road because she'd given up all that she had. Desperation. People say that we in the church need to be more desperate. No, the reality is that we're all desperate. We're all desperate. We're all desperate to fulfill and to complete ourselves. We're all desperate to fulfill and to complete that brokenness that's in our heart, or that's in our somebody did against us, or that did against somebody else that we knew. Maybe it was against our mom, or against our brother, or against our father. Maybe it was just, I don't know, a movie you watched that just made you broken. The reality is that we're all desperate. It amazes me how desperate we really are. The reality is that we're desperate, but our desperation falls to the wrong thing. Our desperation, we don't need more desperation in the church. Believe me, we got enough desperation in the church. Even in here tonight, there's enough desperation to fulfill the world and to fill up the whole world. Desperation to heal our hearts. Desperation, we'll do all we have. We can do everything we possibly can to get that healing, to get that restoration. In the second part of 26, it says that she spent all she had on many physicians. Many physicians to heal her and to cure her. I want you to go a little further with me. These physicians represent a crutch in our life. These physicians represent something that we lean on. Something that we lean on to secure us, to make us whole, to make us complete. She was desperate. So desperate she spent all she had hoping that one of these guys was going to help her. One of these physicians, one of these doctors was going to help her. And like her, so many of us go all over the world and really just even all over our home or all over Anchorage, Alaska or all over anywhere looking for something in desperation to fulfill us, to complete us, to heal our brokenness. And it doesn't have to be a physician. It doesn't have to be a lawyer or a doctor. It could be so many things that you spend all you have to find support. See, the reality is that brokenness needs a support. If you're broken, if you have a hole, you need a support. You need to fill that hole. If you got a leak in your boat, you can't just keep driving with a leak. Plug the leak. Fix the leak. Do something with it. Bubble gum, just stick it in there. And hope that the stuff doesn't just shoot it out. You know, I see it from the very beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve. I see where Adam and Eve ate a fruit. We don't know what it was. Ate something. I think it was a kiwi. I like kiwis. Oh, it's not? Well, to me it is. It's kind of hairy though. It's kind of weird. You guys ever thought, why is a kiwi hairy? Rabbit trail, I'm sorry. Why is it though? I don't get that. Does it need protection? An orange doesn't need hair. Anyway. I don't know why. I've never asked that question before, so I should search on Google or something. I've never thought about that before, but it just came to me. Anyway, so they ate a fruit. They sinned. They sinned against God, right? And what happened? They were naked. They were naked in a garden, which they already were naked, but they knew that they were naked, and they felt shame, and they felt guilt. This is in Genesis chapter 3, right? And they felt shame. Everybody always talks about this story, and they use it for so many different things. But I find it interesting that they were so desperate. I mean, anybody been camping? And yeah, brother, you've been camping. I can tell. He's all excited. He's like, I'm going tonight. You too? Sweet, man. But who's been camping and... Wow. Who's been camping before and maybe, okay. He keeps raising his hand. I get it, you've been camping. Quinn's been camping. And there wasn't a toilet around. Miss Kim? Come on, don't lie in church. Come on. There wasn't a toilet around. My goodness. Look at all you. Oh jeez, I love it. Okay, so how many of you waited for 3 days to get back home? Oh, you're lying. I can tell. Did you wait?
Four.
Oh, that is horrible. We'll have an altar call for that later. That is horrible. Okay, but how many of you didn't wait? Raise your hand. And there wasn't. What did you do? Okay. There wasn't toilet paper. There wasn't. I'm talking about desperation. I'm just preaching the Bible here. Come on. I'm talking about death. Now nobody's ready. Okay. Adam and Eve were so desperate they used leaves. Like, I'm not going anywhere further. But they were so desperate they did. They took some fig leaves. And they pass themselves up. And they just... I don't know how big fig leaves are, but they must have been pretty big. And they covered themselves up. But it went further. They went and hid behind some bushes. And like these fig leaves, focus now. Come on. I didn't go, your mind went the wrong, not me. I'm just preaching the word. It is cold. My hands are freezing. We're talking about desperation. Come on, stay focused. Stay focused. And so they went and they took some bushes and they hid behind them with their fig. And I don't even. Could you imagine what? Hey, Eve, do you think you'll find us? No, you won't. We're wearing fig leaves. You know. What in their mind made them think that God wouldn't find them and they would just be secure? It just didn't make any sense. But they did. They were desperate, and so they took what they had. You know, in Acts chapter, I think it's 17, it talks about the Athenians, the Athens, and it says that in Athens, the Athenians, it says that it's probably, I don't know, Acts 17, it's in like verse 20 or something, but it says, you can write it down, but it says that they sat around talking about new philosophies and new ideas, new things. They just sat around and talked about it. Anything new. And in Ecclesiastes it says that there's nothing new under the sun. And so from Adam and Eve all the way till today, there's people that are sitting around desperately searching for anything new that they can get their hands on to fulfill and can complete them. Maybe back then it was fig leaves, but today it's still fig leaves. It's just in another form. And we're just running around looking for anything new. Anything new that will make me complete and make me whole. Make me just feel good. It doesn't matter what it is. People say that this sin's worse than this sin. I'm convinced that being an alcoholic is just as bad as being someone who's addicted to video games. Anything that you have relied on to be your crutch to cover up that brokenness that's in your heart. That's what a crutch is. I need 8 volunteers. If you already volunteered, keep your hand. 8 volunteers. Come on, we need 8 volunteers. I need like 3. Come on. All right, you guys, come on over. Hurry. We don't got time. Over here. Kelsey, Lindsay, Alex, Christian. 1, 2. All right, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You two right here. 7, 8.
Yeah.
Awesome. Look at these beautiful people. My goodness. Is it really 8? Did we count right? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you something. We'll give you this one. Hey, now you can't show it yet. Be good now. Okay. We'll give you this one. We'll give you this one. Just laugh. Act like it's really funny. Oh, man. Hey, I need. I'm sorry. I need somebody to quit. Somebody's got to bounce. Who really doesn't want to be up here? I only have 7. Oh, I'll show that. You don't. No. You gotta stay. You already got one. Keep it covered. Keep it covered. Matt gave it up. All right. Keep it covered. Keep it to your chest. Keep your hands over. All right. Now everybody kind of. Okay. You kind of spread out. Just get over there a little bit. And then. Just kind. No. I mean, like. No single file line. Just kind of spread out. Whoa. Okay. Okay. That's good. Somewhere where I can get to you. All right, go ahead and show your signs. Go ahead and show what's on your... Just put them against your chest. Now, don't laugh. So we got a student pet. It's all about education. We got the class clown. He's the life of the party. We got the Jesusness, loving my neighbor, keeping his word. All right. And then she is an angel. Then we got the video. We got television, video games, movies. All right. Then we got family. Family is a great thing. Sexual immorality is not a great thing. And then we got mentors, our pastors, our the ones that disciple us. Listen now. So from Adam and Eve all the way till today, people have been have been searching frantically to support our brokenness, to support our hurts, to support our wounds. And so they're just freaking out. And they got this brokenness. And so they run over to their family. Stand up, man. And they just hold on. Now, you just stand there. Act like a pole. Act like a pole. I'm just kidding. You can hug me.
Okay.
And keep your sign up, man. And you just hold on. And you're just holding on. And somebody comes up to you and they're like, man, you're spending a lot of time with your... Do you know anybody else? And maybe you really need your mom to say something good about you for you to heal that brokenness that day. You really need to hear something from your dad. You really need your dad's support. And if you don't have your dad's support, then you're just lost, and that's it. And so somebody challenges you on it. And so I'm not done with that. Go ahead and sit down, bro. And so all of a sudden you start limping around and you don't have a support. And so you just run over and you start being the student pet. And you do everything. You try and get good grades. And you try and get that support from that teacher to tell you, wow, you're amazing. You got all A's and one F. And you say the nice things. Hello, Miss Teacher, you want an apple? You know? And everything you can do to try and be the teacher's pet. And then somebody's like, man, dude, what's your deal? And so you're like, I'm good. And then you run over here to the class clown. And so you start trying to be funny and trying for people to recognize you. And you do everything you possibly can to be seen and to be heard. And come on, we've all been that one in some way, form, or another. We've all tried being the class clown. Hey, you're the mentory guy. You can't raise your hand on the class clown. And so somebody challenges us on that, and so we run over and we start getting addicted to video games and television and every sports thing that comes on. We start watching it. Anything that can, man, I just feel rejected. I'm just gonna watch my television. Watch that new movie. I gotta go watch the newest movie that comes out. I gotta play that newest video game, StarCraft 7. Is that a video game? I don't play video games. Wow.
There you go.
Okay. And so somebody challenges us on that, and then we run over and sexual immorality. Maybe we just get a boyfriend or girlfriend so we can kiss on them and okay. I'm already married. And so we just start leaning on this, and we start leaning on pornography and sexual addictions, and it becomes our support. And I can just keep going on and on. And then another one that doesn't seem wrong, it doesn't seem wrong at all. We run to our mentors, we run to the pastor, we run to somebody that we look up to. And if they don't give us support, then my day is horrible and I quit. And I don't care about life. My pastor didn't give me the he didn't even look at me today. He must not care about me at all. I mean, these are things that people go through. And you guys can go out and sit down. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. Amen. You guys are awesome. And we just go from crutch to crutch, whether it's education or whatever it is. Anything to fulfill that need, that brokenness. It's just another physician. It's just another physician. It's just another thing in your life that you lean on, that you rely on. But I love it in verse 26 also. It says, in the second part, it says she spent all she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. And so you're running over and you're just addicted to TV and television and video games and somebody challenges you on that and you're like, I ain't on that. And so then you run over. And the reality is just like the game that we played earlier, you're going to find some way, somehow, even if it hurts falling off the stage, to get back to your spot, to get back to a place of security and support. You'll do whatever you can to possibly get back to that place. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't care. And so to understand this helps you understand why people are addicted to things. It helps you understand why people do the things they do, and really why you do the things you do, and why you're so desperate for attention. It's because of a brokenness that you have. But the reality is that it doesn't. It not only does it not make it better, it makes it worse. And so maybe you were just kind of addicted to television, but now you're so much more addicted to pornography. Now you're just so much more addicted to being the class clown, and this is where you find your identity. You're 9 years old, and you're still trying to get the attention at the people at the home where all the old people go. And you're just dancing around and spinning Brodies in your, whatever you can do. I'm preaching the word. It makes it worse. Have you guys ever read, I think it's in Mark chapter 2. It's in Luke chapter 5. It talks about where the Jews question Jesus about fasting. They question Jesus about fasting. And he gives this teaching on unshrunk cloths and a new garment. You guys know what I'm talking about? He talks about the new wine skin and the old, okay? He talks about the unshrunk cloth, which is a new piece of cloth. And he talks about an old garment. Okay? And he says that if you take this unshrunk cloth and try and patch up this old garment, maybe you got a hole in your old piece of clothing, if you try and patch it up, he says that what will happen is it will stretch and it will rip and it will be worse than it was in the first place. It will actually be worse. Well, Jesus is telling these Jewish people, you can't just take all my principles and my teachings and patch them onto you and hope that you're going to become a good person. Man, you know the one about Jesus? I don't know who that was. I think I skipped that one. Kelsey, the Jesus-ness. This is one that some of us lean on. It's one of the biggest ones when we're religious. And so we lean on trying to do good and we love our neighbor. And we just feel better because I love, I was in Mexico on my honeymoon with my wife, and I'm sitting there and I hadn't told the gospel to anybody the whole trip. And I was beating myself up because if I go anywhere and I don't tell the gospel, I beat myself up. And so I'm sitting there in Mexico and I'm sitting down, and she runs to the restroom or go get a bite to eat, and I'm sitting there and I see these people. It's like two people, and I haven't seen anybody in forever. And it's the only two people I've seen in a while. And I'm just like, I gotta go tell them the gospel. But my motive for telling them the gospel was not so that they would get saved. See, my motive for telling them the gospel was so that I could appease my conscience. So that I could feel better about myself. See, because if I tell somebody the gospel and I give somebody the gospel, I don't care if they get saved. I've told them the gospel and I'm good. I got my Jesus-ness on. That's a whole other message. I don't want to get too much in there. I'm talking about your crutches. I'm talking about you asking yourself right now where you are, what crutches are in my life? Crutches. It doesn't only not get better, it gets worse. And so, for instance, I'll give you another example about myself is that when I play sports, I'm very competitive. People say competitive is a good thing, it's of the spirit. No, it ain't. I rebuke that. And so I'm very competitive. And so if I don't win, the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, the reason why you care about not winning is, or why you want to win or not, this is huge. He says, because you have a fear of failure. You have a fear of failure. You boast in yourself, and if you lose, you can't stand being the one that lost. And so you're like, all right, I'm not playing sports anymore. And so you stop playing sports and you give that up. I'm not competing with that person. And all of a sudden you start becoming a minister in the gospel. And now you're competing with your brother in the Lord, but you don't even know it. And now you're preaching and you're teaching and you're leading worship and you're pastoring, you're mentoring. Who can have the biggest small group and who can tell more people about Jesus? And it becomes this big frenzy for who can be the best. And it's just from one thing to another. I could go on and on about all the crutches. But these are ones that are so particular and so common in our culture today. Even in the culture of the church. Man, if crutches don't work, if these things right here, just if they make it worse, what are we going to go to? I mean, if nothing works, what do we run to? If I'm just broken, what do I do? Verse 27, she heard about somebody named Jesus. She heard about somebody named Jesus. She heard, the Bible says in verse 27, she heard about somebody named Jesus. And she reached out and she touched his outer garments. Hallelujah. She found out about somebody named Jesus. And it wasn't just another crutch that she could rely on. Because I love it what she says. She says, if I could just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And that word whole in the Greek means to be made complete. To be made complete. She says, I don't want any more doctors. I don't want any more physicians. I don't want any more crutches. I don't want any more things that can help me feel better. I don't want any more drugs. I don't want anything else. I just want to be healed. I just want to find, for me to be new, for me to be complete, for me to be whole. No more brokenness. I want to be healed. And so she hears about Jesus. And she runs to him. And she pushes through the crowd and she touches him. What does the Bible say? She was healed. She was cured. She was whole. After 12 years doing this, trying so hard to be whole. It looks good, man. Preaching the gospel, it looks good. Standing up and doing things in front of people that looks good. Preaching, doing, it looks good, totally. Yes! But it has no effect in transforming this. It has no effect in making the heart of somebody whole again. No effect. It makes it, what does it do? It makes it what? It makes it what? It makes it worse. Man. And we think we're doing good? Whatever addiction it is, guys. I love it. Colossians 2. Verse 10, 9 and 10, it says that He is God. Totally. Okay. And you and me, we are complete. Complete? We are complete? We are, sorry, don't shake a baby. I learned that in like sixth grade. But we are complete. We are complete. We are made whole. In who? In Jesus. Come on, in who? In Jesus. In Him, we are made whole. And so now I don't need any more crutches. No more crutches. But if I push through the crowds and I do everything I can to meet with Him, see, now all of your willpower and all of your might has to go focused on how I can get intimate with Jesus. Not trying to do everything else. Not trying to be secure and strong. Not trying to find support, but trying to find Jesus through the crowds. Trying to find Jesus through all the addictions. Trying to find Jesus in the midst of your struggles and trials and your hurts and your wounds. I'm not taking away from your hurt and your wound. You are hurt. There's two kinds of people. There's people that are hurt and people that are hurt worse. It's the reality. We're all hurt. We all have a brokenness. Man. But Jesus didn't come. Listen. Jesus did not come to patch Himself on us. That's why somebody on the streets isn't going to get saved if they just try and keep the law. No. They need to be born again and become a new man in who? In Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, they're whole and they're complete and there's no more brokenness. Why do I need a crutch if there's no more brokenness? Look. Jesus isn't a crutch. He makes you whole. Now, if you stray away from Him, He becomes your crutch because you need Him. But when you step into Him, you're a new man. You're a new woman in Christ. You're complete. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus died for. He died so that you would not deal with your crutches anymore. He laid His life down the cross. Gave up Himself to the Father so that He could be risen again and choose and elect people to be saved. and that they would be complete in Him and not run to crutches anymore. This is the power of the gospel. This is what Jesus did. So you would become made new and whole. Amen? Worship team? Can you guys come up here, please? He's not... If you don't get anything tonight, if you didn't get anything tonight, which I hope you did, get this. He's not... Look. Jesus is not another crutch. Man. John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda. There's this guy who'd been lame for 38 years. My goodness, 38 years laying at the pool. And Jesus comes and says, "You want to get well?" And he goes, he doesn't say yes or no. He says, "Nobody ever helps me get into the pool. Woe is me. I'm just a horrible person. Nobody ever helps me." You know, I find it interesting that Jesus didn't pick him up as a crutch and carry him into the pool and he could have stirred the water up. He's God. Because they waited for the pool. If an angel came and swooped and stirred up the waters, then they would dive in the first one in. How is a lame person going to get in the pool first? Unless somebody like all of Kimberly's Kim's friends picked them up and threw them in the pool. It's not going to happen. And so Jesus didn't come to be another crutch. He didn't come to be another crutch in your life. He didn't come so you'd walk around just moaning and groaning and woe is me, I'm just a horrible. He came to make you whole. He takes the person beside the pool of Bethesda and says, "Take up your mat and go away and walk." 38 years the guy was lame. He's probably 38 years old. He's probably born lame. He's probably 38. That's the God we serve. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that doesn't come to be another crutch. We serve a God that comes to make us whole, to make us complete. You know, the reality is that, yeah, there is a great God out there. Yes, Gabriel, you're right. Hallelujah, I get it. I read my Bible, I get it. But I still need somewhere to go. I still need something. Look, you don't need another vacation. That's a crutch. You don't need another place to run to. It's not that I found... Look, check it out. I found a place. Yep, I found a place. I found somebody that can lead you. I found a place that your heart and your brokenness can actually, literally, tangibly be made complete. Yeah, I did. And I love it. And I love it. It's in Psalms 23. I don't have time to flip there. Psalms 23. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else anymore. I don't need any other crutches anymore. I don't need any other things. Can we dim down the house lights, Kim? Kim? Thanks. I don't need any other crutches. I'm not in want anymore. I'm good. Because he's my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters. For who? For his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Yea, though I walk through all my troubles and trials and tribulations and hard times and all the things that ever happened to me, even though I walk through all of that, I will not fear. For you, come on, now he takes it from just an idea of a God, and now he says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They make me strong and secure. You set up a table. You prepare a table for me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. Man, this is our God. You anoint my head with oil, with His presence. He anoints you. He runs over you and He fills you up. Your cup is not only full; it runs over now. It runs over. My cup, He says, it runs over. It just does. Why? Because I'm beside still waters. I'm just in green pastures.
He restores my soul. See, it says that in verse 2. He restores my soul. Oh, man. My cup runs over. More than enough for you. More than enough for you. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. See, look, Jesus, come on, let's meditate. Meditate on the Lord. Jesus is not a resort. He's your residence. Jesus is not just a hotel. He is your home. It's not just visitation. I'm going to stop in when I want. It's a habitation lifestyle. It's where you live. It's where you have your habitat. It is where you are at all times. He is your sustenance. He is your provider. He is the one that meets you. His grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. It runs over. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, I'm asking that you would reveal the crutches in our lives. God, that we would not lean on them anymore. That we would not lean on them anymore. That we would not rely on crutches, on other things, on other gods. On, it's idolatry, Lord. And God, we repent. Right now, just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. What are things that you rely on to fulfill that need in your heart? When you find something that you know, I want you to come down to the front and we're going to worship. When you find something, come down to the front and just come worship. Just come wait on the Lord. Just come wait on the Lord. Just be bold and come down to the front and allow Him. Wait on Him. Seek Him and you will find. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Call on His name and He will respond. Listen to Him. God, tonight you are our provider. We trust in you. Holy Spirit, do your work tonight. You are our helper. You are the one that makes us whole again. In Jesus' name.